This week, we've been praying for different people. While you prayed for us, we're also praying for you. And there were different cares and concerns this week, as many of you are aware. As we started off last weekend sending out prayer requests for Brad and Phyllis, and then also for Eric. And then we got prayer requests for Abe and Sadie, and we've been praying for them. And then Mrs. Greening also had some eye surgery this week, and she's gotten back home, as far as I know. I didn't actually get a chance to chat with her. I got back Friday evening, and yesterday was a full day, so that didn't happen. But also, while we were away, we got to go and see our sister church in Jansen, Nebraska, and the church was also having to deal with some loss. And Vic and Gwen Flaming, who served with Transworld Radio, and the reason why I mention them is because we support the ministry of Transworld Radio. Their son went to be with the Lord as well. So I want you to just write down on your piece of paper these different names, because they still need ongoing prayer. And then you could write down all those other names that this week that you've been praying for, and then remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, pray without ceasing. Of course, on a more international stage, of course, we've heard about all kinds of challenges. Those of you who are familiar with West Texas and how that has been a challenge. And then we heard about the Boston Marathon and the bombings and the incidences that took place there. You sort of say, well, what does that got to do with breaking bread? Because frankly, you can't come to this service without the events of this world having shaped your thoughts and your mind so that you would come to appreciate the marvelous grace of God. I don't know about you, but all of these things overwhelm me. I met Vic after the service, and he told me a little bit about his son, and then talked with Paul Carpenter, who's the pastor of that church, and he told me a little more about what was happening with this 32-year-old young man. Just the things that take place in our world should drive us to the foot of the cross. Psalm 46. Can you say this morning? Can you say that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? Therefore, I will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And by the way, the picture that we have in Psalm 46 is still a picture that's going to be realized. And so maybe as you look at this list of people, and you may say, well, I'm not going through any of those things, and so, yeah, God is my refuge, but not like God is their refuge. And in fact, when you're going through a crisis in your life, you need the reminder of Psalm 46. You need the reminder that God is the ever-present help in time of need. Let's just open a word of prayer, and we'll remember these different ones again. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you that only the blood of the Lord Jesus can wash away and take away the sin and the shame associated with our lives. We're reminded again throughout the week that there were people in our lives, people that we love and care for, who undergoing trials that we really can't fully understand. And so we prayed for them, and we prayed that your will be done. And we pray that even in supernatural ways that you would touch their bodies and restore them to health. And we thank you that in each case that we've looked at here and mentioned here this morning, you have undertaken and answered our prayers. And so we praise you and thank you. And so this morning, we also want to remember the Flaming family as they buried their son yesterday. We thank you for Paul and Carol Carpenter, who serve in Janssen and who are seeking to minister to this family. May you give them the needed strength to be the encouragers and those who come alongside those who are hurting. As we bow our heads here today, Father, we, each of us, has troubles. Each of us needs you as our refuge. Each of us has things in our lives that we can't explain or circumstances that we're facing that we wish were different. And so today we want to rest in you. And as we consider the bread and grape juice, and as we share and read different passages and pray, Lord, may they be received as acts of worship, because we do depend upon you. We count on you to be our refuge, to walk with us, strengthen us in the inner man. And so we thank you for your word and the work of your Spirit in teaching us and helping us to understand how to live. So may you be glorified in all that is said and done here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to allow the men to come forward at this time and to share some passages of Scripture, maybe lead in a word of prayer. And for those of you who are here for the first time visiting, just want you to realize that the breaking of bread service that we have here is open to each one who knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. And so we don't try to figure out who you are. We're not here to try to figure out where you are at in terms of your walk with the Lord. We're not asking you to be perfect. We're asking you to have a clear conscience before the Lord. And then just for those of you who are visiting, just to realize that we encourage the men of our local church to participate in the word and to pray and to encourage us as we spend time worshiping the Lord. And so may the Lord be honored this morning as different ones participate.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 21. This is an event that happened after the crucifixion. Last Sunday, we heard from this stinky, dusty disciple who told us how he had met Jesus on the road. And here's another story of how the disciples, and basically the light that I want you to think of the story, and as the disciples had just had communion with Jesus, they had sat together, he blessed the bread and the wine, and he gave them and said, do this to remember me. And of course, then the events of the next 2 days totally disillusioned them, and they were scattered and afraid, and things fell apart. Here they are, fishing. When you're scared and don't know what to do, you do what you know how to do, right? They were fishermen. Verse 1, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Now, those of you that are here for the ABF opening in the morning, David read us how Peter got out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking toward them, and he's walking on the water, right? This time, Peter's not doubting anything. He's in the water. Let's go. So he jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." And so Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. And this is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And you'll notice, as you heard last week, what he did with the disciples that he met on the road, he broke bread with them. Here he's breaking bread with these men that have followed him for 3 years. So maybe he's just reminding us that we do need to do this, and we do need to be reminded of how he gave his life for us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get together here and break bread just like you did with your disciples. We thank you for the closeness that brings, and also for the way it helps us. It reminds us of the great price that you paid, and that the salvation that you give us is free. We thank you so much in Jesus' name.
Reading also in John, just a verse, John 15, verse 13. It says, John wrote this, and he always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in John 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And I think about the price that Christ paid was to bring us to him, and that was because he loved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much and that your word speaks of it. And Lord, I pray that we would take the time to spend in your word to learn about how much you love us and the great cost that you paid to have a relationship with us, Lord. We thank you that you did that, and we want to praise you this morning for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This week I had the privilege of meeting a lot of people out in Texas. We went to GES there with Mike and Jody, and I had a great time, and it's just nice to see people all across the world that come together just to honor God and to help people understand his truth. And I would like to read from 1 John chapter 4. I'll just read one verse out of chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Let's just turn to chapter 4, starting at verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And that's what he's doing here. He's calling us to love other people. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And if we have seen and testify that, the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son and he died and rose again, and leaving us with the promise of eternal life. That simply by trusting in him for it, you freely give it. I thank you so much for that, Father. And I thank you again for being able to fellowship with people who also love you and just worship you. I again thank you for this place here, this church, and the people here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll start at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that because of what your Son Jesus has done for us, that we can come to your throne boldly. Thank you so much for the grace which you've extended to us and giving us eternal life, and the grace that you extend to us each day. Thank you for the wonderful promise that you've given to us of eternal life. Heavenly Father, we also thank you for this body of believers and the encouragement it is to me in my walk. And I just want to thank you also just for the opportunity we have here this morning to gather together and to commune with you and with each other. Thank you for your wonderful love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Me to Colossians. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's just amazing how worthy our God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and acknowledge that you're worthy of all of our praise, all of our honor, all of our glory, Lord, that you alone are worthy. Lord, I just pray that we would seek to honor you with all we are. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us this day, and that we would seek to further your kingdom. Doesn't matter what we do in this life, but that we would seek to further your kingdom and to bring you your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We had a brief glimpse, at least alluded to, in John chapter 21 to a man who probably struggled with knowing how he was going to express his faith. He didn't have the education of an Apostle John. He couldn't write. He didn't have the kind of influence and access that John might have had. But Peter was a man, at least as I read Scripture, a man who wore his faith, as it were, on his sleeve. He was a man who determined that faith had to be visible. And so he was the guy that took the sword out and decided to chop off Malchus's ear. He was the one who confessed that in Matthew 16:16, that Jesus is the Christ. He was the one who was first to say that he would die for the Lord Jesus. And so when he denied the Lord three times, it was pretty humbling. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Where do I go when I'm overwhelmed? Where do I go when I'm overwhelmed not only with the circumstances and the challenges that are taking place in the lives of my friends? Where do I go when I'm disappointed in myself? Well, if you grew up as I did, you'd have been told that you needed to go to a confessional box, and then you needed to pour your heart out that way. And if the priest said, God has heard your confession, your sins are forgiven, you'd walk out, yes, humbled, but elated. Whew, that was pretty tough. Beautiful thing about the Lord's table is that we have access in the Beloved because Christ has done it all. He's dealt with all the sins of all the people of all time. As we were reading in the one passage, he has made propitiation, 1 John chapter 4. Peter and John are two individuals, quite contrasting individuals. John really didn't want to say anything. Peter was the vocal one. We don't read about the disappointments or denials of John. We hear rather the one whom Jesus loved. I had talked to John a little bit about this when I meet him. You wrote that down about Peter actually being challenged by the Lord, where the Lord Jesus asked him, do you love me? What was going through your mind as you were writing that, John? Peter, again, was a man who was seemingly fearless, wanted to be loved by everybody, and yet wanted to be understood as someone who had strong faith. And so even the Apostle Paul had to confront him because there were times in his life where he was inconsistent. So 1 Peter is towards the end of his life. This is what he writes, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. How many of you are from Cappadocia? Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you'd asked Peter to write those kinds of words 30 years earlier, he'd have said, "Are you kidding?" Somewhere along the way, he had to rethink how he was going to be able to communicate, because there were people who were depending upon him to be able to share the faith that he had wonderfully received. There we go. Okay. Are we dead in the water here? Whatever it is. Okay. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," God is my refuge, abundant mercy, "he has begotten us again to a living hope." God is my refuge. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," God is my refuge. "To an inheritance How many of you have an inheritance? You should all have your hand up if you placed your trust in Christ. Okay, so how many of you have an inheritance? Okay, placed your trust in Christ for eternal life, you have an inheritance. What does that look like? Some of you kids are saying, "Mommy and Daddy, what's an inheritance?" We'll talk about that later, son. I'm not telling you what an inheritance is. You'll want it now. Yeah. But we have an inheritance. In French, héritage. Yeah. Saying that for Jean-Paul, he knows what I'm saying. But look at what this inheritance is. Peter, having taken refuge in the person of the Lord Jesus, has understood that this inheritance is incorruptible. Everything that's happening here this morning, by virtue of your faith and your love, your worship of God with all your heart, is going to give you an inheritance that cannot fade or perish. So let me ask you the question, does your worship have value? I'm not going to be there to judge that. But because of what Jesus did, he guaranteed that you and I could have an inheritance. Undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. God is my refuge. I've been kept by the power of God. God is my refuge. You sort of say, well, if only God knew what I was going through this week. That's the point. God does. Why am I here this morning? Because I recognize that God is my refuge, that he loves me. What Bible did Peter read? Do you think he might have read Psalm 46? Go like this. Yep. Because he didn't have much of a New Testament. He would have been reading his Hebrew Bible. He would have been meditating upon these passages. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, he makes it very clear that he's anticipating the Lord's return at any moment. He's writing to these Christians. What would you write to believers after you've been a believer for X number of years? What would you write to them? Would you write them and encourage them to realize that they have an inheritance that cannot fade? Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." You got your piece of paper? These people that you prayed for have been grieved by some trials. He said, there's a whole bunch of people I could add to this list. There are people that Renee and I have been praying for pretty much on a daily basis for months, because they're going through trials that I know nothing about. The Lord's table is a place of refuge. It's a reminder of the great price that was paid so that I might have peace with God. And so the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Did you know that your faith is more precious than gold? That ought to get you excited. Can I cash that in? No, sorry. You'll have to wait for that one. You'll have to wait till the Lord and you and the Lord talk. And then he's going to weigh out. And I'm just using this figuratively. He's going to weigh out how many ounces of gold your faith is worth. More precious. But notice that though it is tested by fire, God is my refuge. These people went through testings of fire, but yes, guess what? There's all of us here have faced some kind of testing, quite possibly this week. You say, in the schoolyard, at home, in my marriage, in my place of work. Yes, testing. This is April 28th, 2013. A day of testing. But God is my refuge. Down to verse 17. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work. I thought we were saved by grace. What's this got to do with this? This is all about the fact that although as a believer, you still have to give an account for your life. So the testing of your faith, if it's going to be proven, if it's going to actually have some value, you're actually going to have to stand before the Lord to give an account for that. And so God is going to judge each man's work. And you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a passage that we always turn to at the Lord's table, is that it says that each man needs to examine himself. And you know what the examination is all about? Is there anything between me and the Lord and me and people? Is there any reason why I can't participate in partaking of the Lord's table? Can I do this with a clear conscience? Just in case you wondered why he could say that, it's because Peter, having grown up and matured in his faith, he says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. No, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen to this next verse. You might want to underline this. This is powerful. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means that God thought of you even before you were born. And he knew the kinds of things you would face this past week in terms of testing. And he'd know whether you failed or whether you succeeded. But he wanted you to have everything that you needed so that you could live a godly life. You can put down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, next to verse 19. Why is that? Because if you turn to that verse, you'll see that God has not only provided his son, but he has provided everything that you need to live a godly life. So verse 21 says, we'll close here, who through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. All of us here at different places in our understanding, different places in terms of our maturity. We're at different places in terms of age. But all of us, God is testing. And so God is my refuge. The only analogy that comes to my mind is that whenever things would get too tough, I would want to go to a place of refuge. I remember as a young man, I was in industry, and I'd come home, and I sort of got beat up at work, in a matter of speaking. It was pretty challenging, and I'd open the door, and I'd say, oh, the place of refuge. And I'd hear the kids come, and Daddy, Daddy, and so on. And Renee, of course, came running with my slippers in her hands and coming to give me a kiss. No, not quite. But she did welcome me. Yeah. I got to give her accolades once in a while. You know, I'm sometimes hard on her, aren't I? I got to call the men up who are going to come and help with serving. If you'll come forward at this time, you to give thanks for the loaf here. So let's take a moment and reflect. Psalm 46. This sanctuary right now is a place of refuge. And our desire here today is to exalt the Lord. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, but if this past week has been any indication of some of the challenges that we face, we need a place of refuge, don't we? Jody.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this morning and for the opportunity for us to come together to worship you and to have fellowship with you. We thank you, too, for the sacrifice that was made by Jesus, and that you willingly gave your body for us, that through believing we might have eternal life, and that having eternal life, we might have a rich and abundant life with you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Lord, we thank you for the cup here this morning. We thank you for the blood that you shed on our behalf. Just thank you for the way you've preserved your word and preserved your church through the years, that we too can meet here like this so many years later and still honor you with our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Get you to stand with me, please. So the person next to you may not have gotten a message this morning, may not have realized that you have understood that God is your refuge. And the place called the Lord's table is a place where we realize that day in and day out. And so in a little bit, you're going to be greeting each other with, Lord willing, a holy handshake. And those of you who are contaminated, there's no purging here yet. So there's a song that goes like this: "He is Lord." How many of you know it? I'm going to try to lead it. Maybe Corny, why don't you come over here and lead this thing? He is Lord. He is Lord, risen from the dead. He is Lord. Okay, please.
Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful morning. Just to be able to look into your word and be reminded again of your wonderful promises. Thank you for your great love that you have for us and for the wonderful gift of eternal life that you've provided for each person who believes, places their trust in you. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place this morning here, that you will just walk with us. And I pray that we'll be encouraged to walk with you. In Jesus' name.